The Abandoned Wife, Lucian. Chapter 31. Everyone present was taken aback. As Roxanne stared at the big hand grabbing her credentials, she panicked. Ever since she saw Lucian, she had been trying to avoid looking at him at all. Since he had suddenly taken away her credentials, she had no choice but to focus on him. I wonder what he's trying to do. Lucian held the document and glanced at Roxanne before commenting, a lot of people nowadays will fake their credentials to make themselves look better. Old Mr. Queen's condition is already in a critical stage, so you two mustn't let people like that fool you. As he spoke, he casually flipped through the credentials and read them extremely slowly. It looked as though he was really trying to discern if it was fake or not. All details about her life, including the school she went to and the place she was working at, was absorbed by his eyes. The life she had lived over the past years started to take form in his mind. As she said, her achievements during her time abroad were quite impressive. Each of those credentials was so excellent that it would make people widen their eyes. Roxanne stared anxiously at him reading through her credentials. She saw that the more Lucian read, the more obvious the hint of mockery at the corners of his lips. Since she had no idea what he was thinking, all she could do was wring her fingers tightly and hope for the best. After a long while, Lucian slowly closed the cover of her credentials. At that moment, her body tensed up. This looks real enough. He coldly swept his gaze past her and suggested, however, I think you better double-check her info on the internet, Jonathan. It's best to make sure if she really is who she claims to be. After all, these credentials could be bought. Roxanne couldn't hold back anymore. He's messing with me on purpose and trying to make them doubt my medical skills. On a normal day, she might have been able to tolerate it. However, because this had to do with the Research Institute, she had to obtain the chance to treat Alfred. Thinking of this, she stared at him seriously and answered coldly, yes, those can be bought, but you can't buy medical skills. If I'm not capable, then you'll know when I treat old Mr. Queen, Mr. Farwell. Things were getting pretty tense between them. It was as though a conflict was brewing. Jonathan found the situation quite odd. Do they know each other? They have to, right? Why else would he say things like that to her? Do you two know each other? Frida asked. Roxanne didn't hesitate at all before denying it. Nope. How can I possibly know someone as mighty as Mr. Farwell? Then she turned to Jonathan. I'm here to treat old Mr. Queen, Mr. Queen. If you don't mind, will you let me take a look at him? She was trying to avoid interacting with Lucian directly. Her change of topic was so sudden that Jonathan's reaction couldn't catch up with it. Roxanne's expression turned even more serious. I am a doctor, and I'm just here to understand old Mr. Queen's condition. Even if I can't treat him, he won't get hurt. Please let me take a look at him. If I can treat him, then he'll have a chance to survive. If not, I'll leave right away and won't disturb you any longer. Chapter 32. Jonathan was somewhat moved by Roxanne's determination, but he still turned to see what Lucian thought. Lucian was merely staring at her coldly and silently. Upon seeing that, Jonathan nodded at her. Then I'll take you to my grandfather. Please follow me. She secretly let out a sigh of relief and tried her best to ignore Lucian's gaze. She passed by his side. As she followed Jonathan, Frida was still worried after seeing her brother bringing the young doctor upstairs, so she followed them too. The three of them soon vanished at the corner of the stairs. When Estella saw Roxanne leaving, she pulled her father's collar to gesture for him to follow the woman. Lucian looked away from the staircase and stared at the child in his arms. his lips twitched before he headed upstairs too. Roxanne almost had a heart attack when she saw him suddenly appearing as she arrived at Alfred's room. "We've arrived," Jonathan announced. She quickly forced herself to calm down and followed him into the room. Upon entering the room, a strong smell of medicine rushed into her nose. She swept a glance across the room and saw a big bed sitting in the middle of it. Standing next to the bed were a couple of people in white outfits. It would appear that they were the medical team specially prepared for Alfred. The room was likely a dedicated medical room to treat the old man. Just as the rumors suggested, the Queen family cared a lot about Alfred's condition. Jonathan brought her straight to Alfred's bed. "Dr. Jarvis, if you will." Roxanne lowered her head and examined the patient on the bed. Alfred looked pretty weak on the bed. He was so thin that he was almost just bones, and his cheeks were sunken. If he wasn't lying down in a medical room, people would have thought he was a corpse. The look in Roxanne's eyes turned stern as her eyebrows furrowed tightly. "His condition is as severe as Colby described." She examined him without delay. First, she held the old man's wrist to check his pulse. Jonathan was taken aback when he saw that. If she's doing that, it means she practices traditional medicine. It's hard to believe she's using such a simple diagnostic method on him. The Queen family had hired medical practitioners of all kinds to treat Alfred's condition, so he had personally seen different medical techniques being applied to Alfred. That was the reason he was shocked by Roxanne's action. It was a very simple technique to diagnose Alfred's condition. Still, he didn't say anything. She sat next to the bed, holding Alfred's wrist. Her eyes were lowered as she focused entirely on the activities of his pulse. The more she observed his pulse, the more she was shocked. She thought his condition was severe enough when Colby described it. However, Alfred's actual condition turned out to be even worse. During her diagnosis, she noticed Alfred's breathing was so weak that any breath could be his last. After a while, Roxanne let go of the old man's hand with a heavy expression and approached Jonathan. "What's the result, Dr. Jarvis? How's my grandpa's condition? Can you treat him?" Hope glimmered in Jonathan's eyes. However, Roxanne furrowed her eyebrows and questioned, "Why wasn't old Mr. Queen sent to the hospital, even though he's in such a critical condition? Why is he being kept inside the house even though he's on the verge of dying?" Chapter 33. The expression on the Queen siblings' faces instantly changed. "What are you saying?" Frida glared at Roxanne furiously. "Can you treat him or not? If you can't, then just say so. Don't curse my grandpa like that." Roxanne stared at her coldly. "I'm already putting things very mildly. After the delay and not getting his treatment in time, your grandfather is suffering malfunctions in many of his organs. His immune system is rapidly deteriorating. Normally, cases like this require the patient's body to be taken care of in a timely, healthy manner. However, the medical team you hired didn't care about the patient's health condition and just pumped his body full of drugs. This isn't treating his condition, it's killing him even quicker." The leader of the medical team was pretty unhappy at the accusation. He approached them and justified his actions in front of Roxanne. "If you don't understand the situation, then don't spit out nonsensical judgments, miss. Old Mr. Queen's condition was getting pretty serious. If we hadn't given him the medicine in time back then, he wouldn't have survived. Please don't question our professionalism. Besides, we're hired by Ms. Pearson. Why would we hurt him?" Roxanne instantly caught the name of his employer. "Ms. Pearson? Does he mean Aubrey? I can't believe she hired this medical team. Where the hell did she find this team of buffoons?" Not only do they suck, but they're also arrogantly confident. Heh, does he think I'll be afraid just because she's the one who hired them? Roxanne's expression was getting pretty cold as she retorted, professionalism? Forgive me for being candid, but I cannot see a shred of professionalism in this team. If you have even the tiniest bit of professionalism, the patient's condition wouldn't have become this severe. The doctor was stumped. When he thought about how sick Alfred looked at that moment, his eyebrows furrowed tightly. No. Words came out of his mouth. When she saw how the doctor was getting lambasted, Frida's expression changed as she stepped forward. Since you're acting so high and mighty, does this mean you're certain you can cure my grandpa? If not, stop wasting time and talking nonsense here. Aubrey had introduced many good doctors over the years to help treat my grandfather. Lucian is doing the same as well. But now you're saying their years of hard work amounts to nothing. Roxanne furrowed her eyebrows and glanced at Lucian's emotionless face. She then looked away and replied resolutely, I'm simply speaking the truth. It's not my place to say if their hard work has gone to waste. I just think everyone should know about the truth. You. Frida didn't expect her to be that sharp-tongued. Seeing how a fight was about to erupt, Jonathan glared at his sister. Frida unwillingly shut up upon meeting his eyes. He spoke sincerely after reprimanding his sister. I apologize on my behalf for my sister. However, right now, I don't care about how the treatment was handled before. I just want to know if you're confident that you can treat my grandfather's condition. If you do, then please hurry. As you said, my grandpa's condition is so severe that we can't afford any delays anymore. Frida spat out sarcastically as well, yeah, aren't you so good? Quickly treat our grandfather. Then. I. Want to see how capable you are. Roxanne ignored her attempt at provocation and returned to the bed. I'm going to treat him now. Please help me take off old Mr. Queen's clothing. Chapter 34. When they heard that, they were shocked. They had met many famous doctors who attempted to treat Alfred, yet that was the first time they heard someone asking them to take off Alfred's clothes. Jonathan was the first to react as he asked cautiously, "Is it necessary?" Roxanne glanced at him weirdly. "I'm about to treat old Mr. Queen, and his shirt will prevent me from treating him more easily. Can someone help? Please do it quickly." Everyone in the room, including the medical team, exchanged looks with each other. They had no idea why it was necessary to take the patient's shirt off for the treatment. Jonathan hesitated before gritting his teeth and stepping forward. Seeing that her brother had relented, Frida was panicking, "What kind of treatment is this? Why?" Before she could finish, she saw Roxanne pulling out a quaint wooden box from her medical kit. There was a scroll-like item inside. After she unrolled it, hundreds of big and small silver needles could be seen arranged neatly inside. Frida was shocked by what she saw and swallowed her words. Roxanne focused on taking out the needles she needed before disinfecting them with alcohol. She didn't at all pay attention to what Frida was saying. In front of her, Jonathan was pulling Alfred toward himself with great difficulty. One of his hands was stabilizing the old man's body while the other was taking off the shirt. Since Alfred was completely unconscious at that moment, he wasn't going to cooperate. It made Jonathan's actions even more difficult. Lucian stared at Roxanne's actions as the look in his eyes darkened. When he saw how much Jonathan was struggling, he put Estella on the ground and ordered, "I'll be helping Jonathan out. Stay here and don't move, okay?" She nodded obediently as she watched her father walk through the crowd and stood next to the bed. He then silently helped Jonathan remove Alfred's shirt. "Thanks, Lucian." Jonathan stared at him gratefully. Lucian nodded silently. When Roxanne noticed Lucian was there, her eyelashes quivered, though she quickly returned to her calm self as she focused on the needles. Chapter 35. Before Roxanne could react to the situation, Lucian supported her by the waist and stabilized her body. When she raised her head, she saw his dark eyes. As their gazes met, Roxanne's body stiffened. Then she quickly looked away before standing back up. By propping her hand on the bed and supporting herself, he had grabbed her subconsciously when she fell. However, when he saw her avoiding him like the plague, the look in his eyes darkened. And so, he quickly withdrew the hand from her waist. "How dare you say you researched complicated diseases before? Is this the result of your research? I think those credentials of yours were bought." Frida didn't notice what was going on between the two of them and was still angry at Roxanne. She stared at Jonathan furiously. "I think she's a liar, Jonathan. We need to kick her out right now." When Roxanne heard that, she quickly snapped back to her senses and mocked, "No wonder old Mr. Queen's condition became so severe. It seems like someone's been interfering with his treatment. Since you insist I'm wrong, I'm leaving right now." She then started to put the needles back into her bag. No one expected she would back off so easily after she displayed a steel determination to treat Alfred earlier. Jonathan was stunned for a few seconds before snapping out of his daze and apologizing, "I'm really sorry, Dr. Jarvis. To be honest, our family consists of many doctors, so we know a little bit about acupuncture. My sister is angry probably because she thinks it's dangerous for you to jab a needle at that acupuncture point and is worried about our grandpa. Please forgive her." Roxanne ignored him and continued to pack her things. "I don't need to stay here and get scolded by someone who doesn't know what I'm doing. I came here because I genuinely wanted to help old Mr. Queen, but since Ms. Queen doesn't believe me, forget about it." The moment she finished speaking, she picked up her medical kit and headed to the door. In a panic, Jonathan carefully put Alfred down before chasing after her. "We can talk things out, Dr. Jarvis. My sister did go too far with her words, so I'll ask her to apologize to you right now. Please continue your treatment on my grandfather. There's no need for that. I can't accept Ms. Queen's apology." Roxanne's tone was cold. Lucian's eyebrows were furrowed tightly as he stood at the side of the bed, staring at the back of her figure with a heavy expression. He could tell she was really angry. On the side, Estella was also able to tell Roxanne was angry. Panic filled her eyes. "I didn't even get the chance to say hello to Ms. Jarvis yet, but now she's leaving because she got angry." Thinking of that, Estella got angry as well. To express her fury, she walked over to Frida, wrote a word in her notebook, and then showed it to Frida. Many people's attention was shifted to her sudden appearance and the word written in her book, which was apologize. Estella stared at Frida with wide eyes. Frida was too embarrassed to back down then. Her line of sight casually shifted away from the notebook, and she pretended to not see Estella. Then she turned to her brother. "If it doesn't work out, we can just find another doctor. I really can't trust this person." When she saw how Frida was still acting stubbornly, Roxanne's expression turned colder as she mocked, "Then I hope you can find a doctor you like before old Mr. Queen takes his last breath, Ms. Queen." She turned around and stepped out. The moment she did that, however, someone grabbed her wrist. Her eyebrows furrowed as she turned back unhappily to see who it was. Lucian's expressionless, handsome face appeared in front of her. Shock filled her heart. What is he? What is the meaning of this? Chapter 36. Lucian glanced at Roxanne and turned her around by pulling her wrist. Then he stared at Frida coldly. Apologize. Frida was flabbergasted when she heard that. What did you say, Lucian? Lucian looked at her loftily, radiating an intimidating aura. Old Mr. Queen's condition is extremely severe right now. If there anyone could save him, that person would have shown up by now since you'd invited every famous doctor from inside and outside of the country. But no, that person has never shown up. Stunned by his fierce aura, Frida lowered her head in a panic. This, Lucian paused, glanced at Roxanne, and continued, Ms. Jarvis has no relation to the Queen family. She's only here to treat old Mr. Queen. It's fine if you don't believe her, but there's no reason for you to hurt her. Did the Queen family teach you manners like this? Apologize to her now. Jonathan was a little shocked too as he stared at Lucian in disbelief. I can't believe it. Lucian is defending a stranger he doesn't know. He's not wrong, though. After all, Frida had been trying to chase Dr. Jarvis away and even hit her. Why is she acting so rashly today? Since Lucian had lectured Frida, Jonathan also added, Lucian's right, Frida. Apologize to Dr. Jarvis. Immediately. As worried as you may be, you shouldn't have treated her like that. You're too rash. Frida gritted her teeth and stared at everyone. Lucian's protecting that woman behind him and making me apologize. Not only that, my brother's defending her, too. Even Essie is demanding I apologize. There's no other way out for me. She hesitated for a long while before lowering her head unwillingly. I'm sorry, Dr. Jarvis. I was acting too rashly. My apologies. I shouldn't have hit you. Her tone was very rigid and insincere. Roxanne didn't want to care about what was going on, but at the same time, she was staring at Lucian absent-mindedly. What is he thinking? Why is he helping me again? Before I started the treatment, he was the one who was trying to stop me from advancing. But when I was treating old Mr. Queen, he helped out, and now he's even defending me. His intentions are so unclear. Frida has admitted her mistake, but I don't expect you to forgive her that quickly, Dr. Jarvis. However, as you said, my grandpa's condition is worsening. Can you please treat him first? We can discuss how we can make up for my sister's misdeed in the future. Jonathan's voice rang in her ears. Roxanne was still pretty upset, but when she thought about the research institute, she suppressed her displeasure. Besides, Jonathan was right. Alfred did need a doctor quickly, and he was innocent. When she thought about that, she calmed down and swept her gaze past the crowd in the room before ordering coldly, I hope unrelated persons will leave this room before I restart my treatment. Frida was about to say she was family before Roxanne added, that includes Ms. Queen. Frida's expression darkened, but Jonathan agreed and asked everyone else to leave. The only people left were Jonathan, Lucian, and a clingy Estella. Roxanne sat next to the bed and prepared her treatment. Chapter 37. With no one disturbing her, Roxanne's treatment went much more smoothly. After a while, a dozen of silver needles were poked onto Alfred's chest. Throughout the entire process, Roxanne focused all her attention on treating him calmly and steadily. In fact, she was so focused that she didn't realize Lucian was staring at her the whole time. When they were downstairs, he had already read through her credentials. It was absolutely flawless. That was enough for him to imagine how exciting her life had been for the past 6 years. However, it was his first time seeing this side of her. When she was doing her job, she was absolutely focused and didn't reflect any hesitation in her movements. It was something Lucian had never seen in Roxanne before. An indescribable feeling surfaced in his heart when he saw that. At the side, Jonathan had been observing her poking the needles on his grandfather and her expression as she was doing so. After a dozen needles were poked onto Alfred's body, he joyously found out that perhaps she would be able to save Alfred. Like everyone else, he thought it was ridiculous when she stabbed her first silver needle. However, recalling her expression as she was doing so, he somehow felt as though he could trust her. So, he insisted that she stayed. The more he watched her administer the needle skillfully and composedly, the more he was certain. She was capable of treating his grandfather. He also noticed that the spots she stabbed with the needles were very dangerous acupuncture points. If she made even the tiniest mistake, not only would her effort be for nothing, but Alfred might also lose his life. It was his belief that Roxanne wouldn't risk Alfred's life unless she was confident. It looks like her research on acupuncture and acupuncture points had indeed reached the level of a master's. Thinking of that, Jonathan felt joyful and respected her from the bottom of his heart. Even though she looks younger than me, she's already much more capable than I am. Indeed. One shouldn't judge a book by its cover. The room remained silent for nearly 20 minutes before Roxanne stabbed one last needle onto Alfred. Her expression relaxed as she lifted her sweaty forehead. All right, that will be enough. He'll be much better after I remove the needles an hour later. She glanced at the two men beside the bed. Jonathan let out a long sigh of relief and carefully approached Alfred. Then he asked, "When will he wake up?" "He should wake up when I remove the needles." Roxanne stood up and attempted to grab tissue papers to wipe her forehead. Just as she was about to do that, someone tugged the hem of her shirt. She paused and lowered her head in confusion. That was when she met up with Estella's sparkling eyes. Even though she knew it was a child Lucien had with another woman, she still couldn't steel her heart in front of such an angelic and cute face. Seeing how she was looking at her, Estella pulled out a neatly folded handkerchief and stood on her toes. Then she handed the handkerchief to Roxanne with anticipation in her eyes. Roxanne hesitated for a few seconds before smiling, "Thank you." Seconds. Then she accepted the handkerchief and wiped her forehead with it. ACC. Estella smiled brightly and left to pour her a cup of water. Lucien stared silently at how Estella was walking around excitedly. His eyes turned dark. This is the first time she's taking the initiative to get closer to someone. Although, I suppose it's only natural, considering their relationship. Jonathan didn't know that, so he was surprised. "Looks like Essie likes you, Dr. Jarvis. It's my first time seeing her being willing to get close to another person." Chapter 38. Roxanne was slightly stunned before she turned to Lucien with a worried expression. She hadn't been honest with him the incident when Estella was lost back then. "I doubt I can hide it from him, though." And so, she hesitantly explained, "It's probably because I found her when she got lost last time." Jonathan didn't know that happened. His line of sight shifted between Estella and Roxanne. "I guess you two are destined to meet each other, then." "Destined?" Roxanne thought about Estella's identity and pursed her lips self-deprecatingly before replying plainly, "I suppose so." Jonathan didn't notice anything strange about her, so he stood up and suggested, "Since my grandpa still needs an hour, we should wait downstairs and drink some water." "Thanks for your help, Dr. Jarvis." Roxanne secretly sighed with relief when he changed the topic and quickly agreed to his suggestion. Lucien walked away from his side of the bed, responding to the invitation through his actions. When he tried to hug Estella, the girl wasn't at all interested. After Estella handed the handkerchief to Roxanne, she had been staying at the latter's side. Upon hearing that they were heading downstairs, she immediately reached her hand out and grabbed Roxanne's hand, much like how they did it last time. Right before her hand touched Roxanne's, a phone rang. Roxanne promptly turned around to take the phone in her bag, and her fingertips brushed past the little girl's It wasn't easy for Estella to build up the courage to hold Roxanne's hand, yet she failed at the last second. She blinked slowly as disappointment colored her expression, and she started fiddling with her fingers. Lucian saw how they almost held each other's hand. His eyes darkened in response. Roxanne picked up the phone and saw it was a call from Madeline Vess. She handed her kids to Madeline tonight because of her appointment at the Queen residence. So, when she saw the call, she thought something happened to the children and speedily answered. As her finger swiped across the screen, she accidentally pressed the speaker icon. Hello. Roxanne spoke without noticing her mistake. In the next second, she heard two cute voices ringing through the air. When are you coming back? Mommy. It shocked her and she quickly turned off the speaker mode. The children's voices vanished in an instant. Despite that, she could feel her heart beating like crazy. She worriedly and subconsciously shot aside glance at Lucian. Her first reaction was that she was afraid he would learn of her children's existence. Lucian's face was currently as dark as the sky before a thunderstorm. There was an icy look in his eyes. I heard the voices coming from the phone. It was a boy's voice calling her mommy. Did she get married again? When he realized that, rage flooded into his mind and heart. He gritted his teeth and forced himself to calm down. That was the only way he could resist the urge to pin her to the wall and question her. Jonathan didn't detect anything wrong between the both of them and smiled. Are you married, Dr. Jarvis? Roxanne's mind was in so much chaos that she just nodded. When Jonathan saw that, he smiled. I couldn't tell you already have kids. Say. She apologized, I'm sorry. Please excuse me while I take a call. Then she headed out of the room without another glance at Lucian. Chapter 39. When Roxanne walked out of the room, she lowered her voice and spoke to the children. I'm still treating a patient right now, so I'll be back much later. Go play with Aunt Madeline first. The children were used to her returning home late, so they agreed. Concurrently, inside the room, Lucian's expression was so cold that it was reaching the freezing point. Rage was boiling in his heart. Estella's attempt to reach Roxanne's hand and the mommy he heard on the phone kept echoing in his mind. No wonder she acts so coldly toward Estella. It turns out she had already married someone else and given birth to new children. That's why she abandoned Estella back then. He stared at his daughter, who was still standing in her original spot. Was. Despite her obvious disappointment, she still stared at the door, waiting for Roxanne to return. Watching her like that made his heart ache. So what if she has returned? She still doesn't want to take care of her child. The look on Lucian's face was terrifyingly dark as he approached Estella and carried her into his arms. The girl stared at him with confusion and tugged his collar, indicating that she didn't want to be carried. Of course, he didn't notice it as he coldly announced, "It's getting late, so I'll be taking Essie back home. Now, if old Mr. Queen wakes up, give me a call. I'll stop by another day." Before Jonathan could reply, he left with Estella. Roxanne had just ended her call and was about to head back in. When she arrived at the doorway, she saw Lucian walking out expressionlessly. Her heart clenched, but just as she wondered what to do, he walked past her and left without glancing at her. She was a little stunned at his sudden departure, though when she returned to her senses, she laughed self-deprecatingly in her mind. It seems like he didn't care about the call at all. 6 years ago, he didn't care about me either, not to mention I did that sort of thing to him when I left. Of course, he won't care about me now, nor would he care about the two children. To him, we're all strangers. Roxanne knew they lived in different worlds. She thought about the emotional roller coaster she had just gone through earlier and felt like a joke. She stood outside the door for a long while before sighing gently. Upon tidying up her thoughts, she entered the room. Only Jonathan was left in the room. He had witnessed their interaction earlier. "For some reason, I feel like their relationship isn't as simple as it seems. Lucian, especially, seems weird. It's the first time he showed so many emotions toward a woman. He was really curious about their history, but because it was their private matter, he didn't inquire further about it. Instead, he started talking about Alfred's condition with her." Estella was panicking as Lucian brought her out of the mansion and into the car. She quickly wrote a sentence in her notebook and tugged the hem of his shirt before showing it to him. The sentence read, "I haven't talked to Ms. Jarvis yet. Can we stay a little longer?" Seeing that, Lucian felt a surge of mixed feelings, and his eyebrows furrowed. Estella noticed her father looked kind of down, and a caring look appeared in her eyes. She then wrote two more sentences, "What's wrong, Daddy? Why aren't you happy?" Chapter 40. Lucian's expression turned grim when he saw what happened. "What's there to talk to her about? Pretend that you don't know her the next time you see her and don't ever interact with her again. Since she has no intention of acknowledging her daughter, I might as well go along with her wishes." Taken aback by Lucian's tone, Estella was briefly stunned before she pouted and wrote in her notebook, "Why?" Before he could reply, she quickly wrote, "I like her very much, and she is kind and gentle to me. I want to be together with her." Despite Lucian's sympathy for her when he saw how much she liked Roxanne, they had no choice but to face reality. He replied indifferently, "That's because she has children of her own and doesn't need another child." Estella was confused by his reply. "I know that the two boys are her sons, but she has still been very nice to me. However, Daddy seems to hate her." Estella couldn't help but feel disappointed. When he saw her fall silent, Lucian instructed his assistant to drive. After leaving the Queen residence, he felt a tug on his sleeve, causing him to look over at Estella with knitted brows. She wrote, "In that case, where is my mommy?" She gave him a pitiful look, while her eyes were filled with confusion. "As the pretty lady is the boy's mommy, I cannot be with her. In that case, where's my mommy?" Her question tore into Lucian's heart. Recovering his gaze painfully, he had no idea how to respond to her. "She's asking me where her mommy is, and I do know the answer. However, how am I going to explain the cruel truth to her? That woman has a new family now. Even with her own daughter standing right before her eyes, she had no intention of acknowledging her." The more he thought about it, the gloomier he became. Consequently, a long silence was his only response to her. When she didn't obtain an answer, Estella continued to stare blankly at him, yearning for an answer. Finally, Lucian replied through gritted teeth, "I don't know. I don't know where she is, and don't ever ask me this question again. Just having me is enough. There's no need for you to have a mommy at all." After looking at him in shock, Estella gradually put her notebook away before hanging her head in silence. For the rest of the journey home, neither father nor daughter spoke another word. Back at the Queen residence, Roxanne felt out of sorts after Lucian was gone. Jonathan could sense that she was unsettled but didn't bring it up. Instead, he led her downstairs, where they made idle chatter over coffee. From the outside, both of them seemed to be getting along very well. After Frida was chased out, she returned to her room. Subsequently, she came out to see for herself what the situation was. When she saw her elder brother sitting with Roxanne on the couch, she let out an inaudible snort. From the very beginning, she never believed in Roxanne's capability, and her opinion of the latter hadn't changed. Despite noticing Frida's contemptuous expression, Roxanne didn't hold it against her and just pretended to be oblivious of the former. 1 hour later, Roxanne changed the subject. "It's time. We can remove the needles now." She got up and headed upstairs with Jonathan following closely behind. At the same time, Frida, too, got up skeptically and went along with them. Even though she didn't have faith in Roxanne, she was still concerned about her grandfather. Furthermore, she intended to see for herself whether Roxanne was as capable as she claimed to be.